The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Oh yeah, good afternoon everybody. It's Mike Missinelli Show. It's an all-star day, and this is our portion of the show as we do the 4 hours sharing the microphone with, of course, Tyrone and Natalie and myself sharing it at 220. Bob Cooney and Andrew Salchunas will hang out with us for a little while. The Beers with Bob guys. We'll have a couple beers with Bob. Anthony from 3 to 4:30. Devon Gibbons will come in at 4 o'clock. We'll talk some, obviously, some Sixers, but also Eagles with Devon, since he does the pregame show, and he's totally invested in what the Eagles do tonight. And then John Kincaid from 4:30 to 5:20. And we'll have some fun today. This is one of those shows. It's an open show on NFL Draft Day. We've had kind of an all-day party here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And I think a lot of it is because it cuts the tension considerably of what is about to happen tonight. And we really haven't thought much about the Eagles screwing it up as much as we're just playing along with the All-Star Day. Right, Tyron? Even you're relaxed today. You don't have the angst that's squeezing you about the draft right now.
I don't, and it's for a couple reasons. Two, not just All-Star Day, which I love. It's one of my favorite days. I'm hearing good things from both the local people, such as Mike K from NJ.com and nationally from ESPN. The rumors about the trade down seem to be dissipating, and now the rumor is that they're trying to get up to 9 to get in front of the Giants and the Cowboys. That's encouraging, and that tells me that they're not going to go defensive line. That means they're probably going corner or wide receiver for sure there. That puts me back in the easy chair.
Oh, so that kind of points to maybe Sertan there.
That's what that screams it.
Because the Cowboys have manifested an interest in him.
For sure.
So the Eagles would climb in there. I think everybody would be happy if they made an overt move like that to get ahead of the Cowboys and grab a starting corner who, by all measures, is the highest-ranked corner in the draft.
Yes. Now, there are some people out there, I might as well talk about it now, the people are like, why would you go from 6 to 12 and go back up to 9? Here's why. Howie stole an extra first-round pick. The Miami overpaid. It might only cost them a third rounder to move their 12 and a third rounder to go from 12 to 9. So you still were able to get an extra first round pick to basically move three spots in the grand scheme with the way it nets out. A lot, if Howie can pull it off, and maybe they can't, but if he can, huge props to him if he's able to grab an extra one and then move back up for only a 3. I'd have to give that man a lot of credit. I would.
Yeah, and so, like I said, I one of the reasons I'm not worried about this is because they're going to get a player who's going to start for them. If they stayed at 12, now, to be sure they're going to get that player to start for them, a trade up to 9, I don't know how you could argue with that. You know, as a starting player, it's the best one, that apparently, and they reach up and get him, they're doing their job. So there you go. Like I told you before, I'm on easy street when it comes to this draft. And, first of all, I want to tell your friends and neighbors that we are not on television today because the Phillies are on NBC Sports Philadelphia, but we will be All-Star Day on the radio, and if you don't listen to it, you're missing something. So
yeah, it's been so fun all day.
You want to put the Phillies on your screen, put it on your screen, but we're going to have all kinds of entertaining conversations with different people that we don't get a chance to talk to. Now, Anthony and I did a show a couple times in our career, so we have that familiarity. But, you know, we haven't had Bob Cooney on the show. Andrew used to produce this show, so we have familiarity. But that's going to be fun. Having Devon in here is going to be a lot of fun. Kincaid and I went back and forth this morning.
Yep.
on a couple of issues.
Yep.
So that's going to be entertaining. So we're gonna have a blast today on this show.
Right now, some people on social media. Most people have been great on social media. There's a couple people out there. Oh, you're not doing enough draft. Well, 4 o'clock, we're going to have Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN, on the program, and he's going to be talking draft. Don't worry, people.
Yes, and here's the Tim wrote a story today. Are the Eagles eyeing quarterback Justin Fields? We have talked about this over the last couple weeks. Now, there are all kinds of parameters here. If they trade the 9, I don't think it would be for Justin Fields. I think it would be for Sartan. If they stay at 12 and their a mindset is we don't care if we got Sartan or J.C. Horn, but Justin Fields is there. I've already said I would take him at 12. If he's there at 12, I would take him at 12, and I got a better player at the most important position at quarterback. Whether he starts this year or not, I know that I can believe in this guy, where they don't seem to have the same belief in Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts says, you got to prove it to me. Fields, I think, comes in with a little more cachet, the trust that he could be the franchise quarterback. So that's where I am on that, and that's what the buzz is, apparently, that it is possible that if Justin Fields slides to 12, that the Eagles have some interest. Now, it could be a smokescreen, whatever. But, but that would indicate, if it's a smokescreen, that would indicate that they want to trade back. And if somebody wants a quarterback at 12, if Justin Fields is there at 12, somebody gives them an offer and they move to 16 and they take Quiddy Pay, in which case I would not be happy
with that. Cannot have that. No disrespect to him. Not good enough. Can't have it.
It's not. It would be disappointing. It would be the balloon that the air popped in. Now, both you guys were really angst-ridden yesterday.
Yes.
Now that we focus on the actual draft part of it, we've just went over this with Tyrone. So, Natalie, are you feeling any better? You weren't feeling good yesterday at all.
I wasn't feeling good yesterday. I woke up today and I was like, you know what? I thought about what you said yesterday, Mike, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, Mike has been, you know, you've been doing this. You've seen a lot of drafts. You know, I think better than anybody, that the Eagles have to do the right thing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling more confident today, and even seeing the reports that they're saying that they're trying to jump ahead of the Cowboys. And it excites me that they want a corner. So whether if they can land, you know, Surtain or Horn, like I'd be really happy with that. So I'm feeling more confident today than I have in months. And the thought that they're going to get the position that I've kind of been hoping and praying for the last 5 years that we haven't had, because we get burnt deep all the time, is a cornerback, then I'll be really happy if that happens.
All right. So we will obviously be talking a lot about the draft today with the various parties. Also, there was an issue last night. The Phillies are going on right now. And the interesting part about the Phillies today, and this goes into a bigger discussion than one we kind of had this morning when I was on the morning show, about what the unwritten rule is for baseball when it comes to a situation like last night, where a wild left-handed hard-throwing pitcher hits Bryce Harper in the face and then in his next pitch drills Didi Gregorius right in the back or in the side with a blazer. So, although the argument that we had this morning, KK would say, well, you mean to do it, so there should be no retribution. But see, this is why baseball is baseball. Because even though he didn't mean to do it, a major leaguer should not lose as much control as to do that. If you hit a guy in the face, your next pitch cannot be inside. And if you're a major league pitcher, you should be able to control it enough where you don't throw the next pitch inside. And if you do that, that means you're careless. And if you're careless, you should get your ass kicked. All right? That crosses the lines of unwritten rules. That's clear. So today, it is up to Aaron Nola to buzz the tower. And they're up 1-0 now. I assume he'll last long in the game. Hopefully, it's an easy situation. They're up 3-0, and he buzzes the tower. But Aaron Nola now has the responsibility. And I know people out there think it's silly. What are you talking about? That's what I'm talking about with these unwritten rules of baseball. Well, you saw how that team reacted last night. That team took a front to that. That bonds the team. When they see one of their teammates, two of their teammates getting clipped like that, they're loaded for bear. They want to fight somebody. That's not fun to get drilled like that. So the responsibility is on Mr. Nola to buzz the tower today. Now, Ty, I don't know how you feel about this because you're against the unwritten rules. So I don't know what you think the responsibility
is. No, he has to do it. He has to do it. And this is where, to me, this is different than when we're talking about the celebrations and things like this. Mm-hmm. This is different to me. Very different. And he has to do it because this is a situation where the umpires, in my opinion, the umpires mishandled it. The first one could have been an accident. As you said, even if the mm-hmm. second one is an accident, you got to throw that guy out. But see, but mm-hmm. he didn't. Baseball, what he ends up doing is basically punishing the Phillies, and he warns both sides.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's dead wrong. Because it was a one-run game, and the Phillies likely would not have done anything, even though they end up getting some more insurance runs. They probably wouldn't have done anything. But by just setting the precedent and saying, okay, now both sides, you're basically saying you can't get any retaliation. To me, that's bad umpiring to leave them in the game, number one. And then number two, to warn both sides, that was, to me, horrible. Therefore, it is absolutely Nola's obligation to do it. In fact, I will lose respect for him as a pitcher and as a person if he doesn't have his best players back who got drilled in the face at 97. He's
yes.
got to do it.
Now, here's the other thing. This is the last time they play the Cardinals. Okay, so that has a lot to do with it. Because people say, well, at the right place and time. This is the only chance you got. All right? So you saw the way those teammates reacted last night. And if you're a Cardinal player, and you're Goldschmidt, and you're Arenado, and you see that your pitcher did that, you know what's coming to you. That's why that's a form of self-policing, the game. And those guys know what's going to come up. They're not oblivious to it. When you hit a guy like that, if you're a pitcher, you go, you know what? If I hit another guy and I lose this kind of control, I put my own players in peril. And he just flinged it again. Now, I don't think there's any pitcher that could lose a major league level that could lose their control to the point where they can't throw one on the outside part of the plate in that next pitch just to get your bearings down. You just throw the guy in the face. Now, the next one, if you hit the next guy, you put your own players in peril. And then the Phillies, they gang up. So we'll see what happens. I know people think, that's barbaric. That's barbaric, Mike.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, not. You know what's barbaric? 97 to the face.
Yeah.
And the umpire's doing nothing. That's barbaric. In any other sport, and that's the thing that you have pointed this out, any other sport, there's an ejection, a fine, a penalty, a something.
Uh-huh.
There was just nothing.
That's akin to hitting the guy over the head with a stick.
Right. Yes. And that's part of the reason why I think the umpires mishandled it, because on the second pitch, he's got to get ran. But he didn't do it, so now the Phillies have to do it, because the umpires, they would still need to be retaliated against, but it's more egregious mm-hmm. that they let him stay in the game. So he just unscathed? Everybody's good, but yeah. two Phillies are hit? Now,
yeah,
that can't
and
happen.
I'm sure the kid was upset. After the game, he apologized. That's not really the point, man. You can't be dangerous like that. All right, you're a major league pitcher. If you're like some guy off the farm and you're just trying to harness your control, I mean, you made it to the levels where you're now pitching in the major leagues, man. So don't give me it. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to be joined by the Beers with Bob guys, Bob Cooney, Andrew Salchunas, right after this. The Mike Missanelli Show on All-Star Day, and we're still talking draft. No TV today. Tell your friends. Radio only. Listen in. Back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
He, of course, is Tim McManus. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Timmy.
Mike Devine, what's going on? Happy draft day.
Yeah, you too. And first of all, like, what's the latest info that you're hearing as we near the draft and you're in the pipeline? Are you hearing anything regarding the Eagles doing something?
Well, yeah, a lot of it is consistent with kind of the messaging that I've been getting throughout the whole draft build up, is that there's two positions that seem that are in line for the Eagles to hop on in that first round, and that would be cornerback and wide receiver. cornerback, the question becomes, is one of the players, one of the primary guys, and that's J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain, are they going to make it to 12? And if not, you know, are the Eagles going to try to maneuver their way up the draft board to ensure that they land one of those guys at a position of need? And as far as wide receiver goes, you know, I think there's a real chance that if they stick at 12, that one of those Alabama receivers ends up landing in their lap. And so those seem both like plausible scenarios, maybe the two most plausible scenarios as we end our Thursday night.
All right, let me ask you this first. Do they like Surtain enough to move up ahead of the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, there's debate, and maybe there's even debate internally about who the better prospect is between Surtain or Horn. But I know that there is at least a thought when the Eagles were sitting at 6 that Surtain wouldn't be a bad outcome there. And of course, they traded out to 12. We know the deal there. But that leads me to believe, well, if at least some people liked him enough at 6, then they're going to like him at 12 or maybe at 9 or 8 if they do slide up. And so, I mean, I think it's pretty common knowledge at this point that the Cowboys are looking corner. You know, my counterpart in Dallas, Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys, does an awesome job. And in the mock draft that we put together recently, he had Horn as the guy going there. So it's really up in the air there. But yeah, I think that they like both, and I certainly know there's love for Surtain in that building.
All right, if we get to 12, and they allow Surtain to go to the Cowboys, and either Smith or Waddle are there, or Horn is there, what do the Eagles do?
I feel like cornerback would be the move there. I mean, and the likelihood of all three of those guys being there is probably pretty small. Like, mm-hmm. I think they like Waddle. I think they like Smith, you know, and I think they like Horn. I think it would probably go, this is my opinion, it would go Horn, Waddle, Smith. But I also feel like Smith is probably the most likely outcome because there's a chance that Waddle goes earlier. I know that there's a lot of expectation around the league that he goes earlier. Maybe he goes to 6 to Miami. And then, you know, if both of those corners go, then maybe Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner, is the one that makes it through its way to 12, and the Eagles are sitting there. And in that scenario, I think they take him.
All right, but you're thinking that they would take Horn over Smith.
Yes, I would say, in that order, I would say, if I had to guess, I would say Horn, Waddle, Smith.
And Tim, when you look at that, and we keep talking, we hear all these things about the drawbacks of Devonta Smith and all the work that he's done at Alabama and the Heisman Trophy winner that he is, but the concerns about the weight issues and things of that nature. And now knowing that Nick Sirianni is here and he's had success even as an offensive coordinator for former wide receiver himself, do you see a situation where they wouldn't be as concerned with having two smaller type of wide receivers with the opportunity for them to do their work to get those guys open, to scheme it the right way for them to be productive?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Sirianni actually addressed this a little bit when he was asked about the different size receivers and whether, you know, there's a certain body type that needs the fitted axe or how he views it. And he noted that over the course of his coaching career, he's gotten it done with guys at the X position and otherwise with all sorts of shapes and sizes, and that you don't need to have kind of one, you know, set. It doesn't need to be this, you know, this towering muscled up, you know, 6'3" receiver to be your X receiver. He doesn't have to look like Alshon Jeffrey as an example. T.Y. Hilton is a smaller guy that you could maybe make a comp to. And, you know, Devontae Smith, if you didn't know about his weight and you just were to put on the film and kind of analyze, it's like, oh my God, like this guy looks like an absolute home run. Like he can do it all. The production has been absolutely off the charts. And even though the big concern is, you know, can he get off press man in the NFL? It's a legit concern at 166 pounds, which he currently is, but it wasn't a problem at Alabama, certainly. And I don't know that they would shy away from him, as Roseman said in his pre-draft press conference, that they're not going to show a bias just because of a guy's body type. And I actually believe that to be the case.
All right, two different scenarios here. One is the frightening scenario that they trade back from 12 to 16, and they target at that point Quiddy Pay, the defensive end, in which case they would have passed up a great player at 6 and a possible star at 12. How do you think that would sit
with the Eagle fan base. But in your personal opinion, would that be an okay move?
Man, I think that you need to be aggressive here. And I know that there's a whole, this whole draft is a wild card because of guys opting out early, not being able to get your hands on a lot of prospects that you traditionally would. A lot of people not even having the 2020 season. Like it's a bizarre year. So I get it. But at the same time, I think that the Eagles need to act with conviction in this draft. If they have identified one of these corners as a blue chip prospect, go up and get them. If they think that they can get a difference maker at 12, then get that difference maker at 12. But there certainly is a scenario where it doesn't play out their way, or they're not able to manufacture one of those trades up, or the board doesn't break their way, Mike. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, the value's not there anymore, and mm-hmm. we should probably slide back a few, and then you're talking about a alignment on either side.
But the way
that I think it's going to break, the three most likely positions to me in the first round is cornerback, wide receiver, and offensive line. I think that's kind of the mindset of the Eagles going into this one. But yeah, there is a world where they end up with, Rashawn Slater or Vera Tucker. I mean, or Quiddy Pay on the defensive side. Those scenarios do exist.
Wow. So only if everybody's gone, you're saying.
That's the way that it feels to me. It feels to me that they're locked in on wide receiver and cornerback. It doesn't mean that their board totally looks like that and there isn't an exception to the rule somewhere around there, but that's the feel I have entering tonight.
Okay. I got to ask you about this because you wrote about it today, and you actually quoted McShay saying that, quote, there's some interest in Justin Fields within the Eagles organization. Is that a ruse, or could that be a possibility if he slides to 12?
What we have to take from our experiences with Howie Roseman and from last year in particular is don't rule out anything when it comes to the Eagles. We know that they haven't committed to Jalen Hurts as the starter yet publicly. Sirianni says that's because, I want competition and I haven't gotten these guys on the field. And maybe that is the reason. But whether it's just by coincidence or whether it's intentional, they're leaving themselves wiggle room to add another quarterback to compete with Hurts or even usurp Hurts between now and the start of the season. And this is kind of a fluid situation. Like, how far down does Fields go? How far down does Mac Jones go? Somebody told me to keep in mind at 12, if Jones were to fall, to keep him in mind that maybe he would be in play. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I don't think it ends up that way. I mean, I think the way it's going to work out is that the Eagles take somebody later in the draft, like a Kyle Trask or somebody who's got the connection to Brian Johnson. They let Hurts kind of be the guy out in front. But if, we know that Lurie and Roseman believe in investing heavily in the quarterback position. We know that they haven't always been true to the boards. And have they fallen in love with one of these quarterbacks? I mean, that's always a possibility that you have to leave out there. But I would say my guiding thought would be against that in the first round is because they've already moved out of six. And if they were in love with one of the quarterbacks, they would have stuck at six. You just don't mess around with it just to get an extra first round pick in 2022. So I don't think it ends up that way. But we have to at least keep that possibility out there because they're the Eagles.
The blockbuster story of the day, and Schefter reported that Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled that he's told people in the organization he does not want to come back. Does that make a trade at 3 possible for the 49ers to grab him?
There's some reports out that there's been a conversation between the Packers and the Niners already about that. With the Packers saying that they're not moving him. It's certainly, this has been one spicy offseason. and it just continues to go that way and a lot of quarterbacks asserting, their power to get what they want and get it out if they want. And we know it well here in Philadelphia. We saw it unroll with Carson Wentz. I mean, so it's another wild card that you throw into the mix tonight. At least sounds right now based on Schefter's reporting that the Packers are holding firm and don't plan on trading him. But it's one of those things where better believe that, almost 31 teams are going to be calling, including the Eagles, I'm sure, to see what's going on in Green Bay.
And Tim, the final one for me is that with everything that's happened this offseason, with all the changes from the quarterback to the head coach and bringing in all these new people to help out overall, and then all the heat that not only have the front office, but now Jeffrey Lurie has taken throughout this all, after a 4-11-1 season, do you get a sense that of things being a little handled differently with this draft as we approach tonight's first round and, of course, everything that's going on this weekend? And are they going to be together since we had the pandemic last year and it was all virtual? Do we know what it's going to be like as far as the room is?
Yeah, it's a really good question, both of them. And I think, you know, to the second part, I believe that there is going to be a group that is together. I mean, they're not quite as tight. They don't have to work all remotely this year. So there is going to be a group together. And I think that will help facilitate more of a collaborative process that was clearly missing last year. I mean, I think even the setup, you know, lent to, you know, the owner and the general manager's worst impulses of, you know, let's, at least in the first two rounds, let's kind of guide this thing ourselves rather than trusting the draft board. And I do think that they're going to revert back towards the collaborative process, towards the scouting evaluations more this year, just as kind of like a course correction. I don't know that it'll last for years to come and it'll all be harmonious, but I think that they do recognize some of the error of their ways from the last time around, and we will see it. That's what they've been preaching. I mean, if you saw the pre-draft press conference there, that's what they were hammering. You know, we're all working this together. We're making sure all the pieces align here. And so I think for at least one draft, you are going to see some signs of that.
All right, Timmy, just quickly, how are you covering the draft tonight as opposed to in comparison to what you did last year with Goodell in the basement and all that stuff? How will you be plugged in tonight?
Yeah, so Goodell's out of his basement, but I am not.
Okay.
The last 2 years I've had to do it virtually. And there's a couple teams around, like the Cowboys and the Dolphins, that are letting reporters into their facilities, but the majority aren't. And so we just have to kind of work remotely. And, you know, we'll be texting our sources and watching on TV and writing from, you know, whatever room we can find that's quiet. And that's just kind of the reality, like many people out there, of this season, Mike.
All right. Sounds good. You have a busy night ahead, and we look forward to all your information. Thanks, buddy, for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right. I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. So it can go a number of different ways. Would they try to get to 9 to get to Sertan? I would think they would.
Do you have
the Cowboys? They've done it before. Well, listen, I don't have a problem with them going down to 9 to get him. If that's the guy they've targeted, they get a starting player of his quality. If they like him better than Horn, they should go down to get him. If you're sitting at 12, I would take Smith over Horn, though. I think there's more value in Smith than Horn. If Justin Fields is there, I would take him.
I would, too. Now, you feel like more value there with Smith over Horn because of the cornerback depth that may be out there, or just how dynamic Smith is?
I just think he's too dynamic to pass up.
Okay.
And when you value players, I think Horn's a good player. I don't know how good I think Smith is going to be a dynamic player, so I can't pass up that value.
But does that throw it off that Tim just said that they have Waddle in front of them? So do they look at him as a dynamic player if they think Waddle's better?
See, that's just where I go. They're foolish. Because Waddle's 5'9". I get it. But Rager's the small. Come on, man. This is overthinking it. I think. I don't know. I think it is.
It may be overthinking it, but again, we were talking about this earlier. Just because they made a mistake a season ago, potentially with Rager and his small body, right, doesn't mean that Waddle couldn't be more successful.
But I want a bigger guy to balance it.
But then you'll have the counter of he's bigger, but the weight isn't there.
Yeah, but he can get open.
Oh, I agree with you.
You know, I don't have any worries about that
guy.
That 166 does nothing for
me. I'm not worried about it.
You know, I think that guy's going to be a dynamic player. He's going to make people miss at 166, but you know he's going to be 180 eventually.
And you ask, what do you have comparison to him on your roster? You don't.
Nothing.
You don't.
Nothing.
So you do it.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Tyron, because Aaron Rodgers now is engaged.
Yeah.
She don't want to be in Green Bay.
Yeah. So
seriously, dude, is that a factor?
I think
all of a sudden?
Is. Yes.
And we
talk about this often on the show, how the women play a role in these decisions. Sure. These are human beings, whether it's an actor or athlete, obviously most of the time, they play a role. Brand new wife, Hollywood, he's out there hosting Jeopardy out in California.
Yep.
there might be a chance that she says, you know what? They disrespecting you already, Aaron.
So she's bugging. She's in his ear.
I'm saying, how many years you got left? Do you really want to spend the rest of it in Wisconsin? We can go to the 26 teams are going to call. 26 out of 32 are going to call.
He's a legend. And look at the story franchise. Green Bay, he's a legend.
Look what Tom Brady just did down in Tampa.
True.
You could go to Houston right quick. Yeah. A city. You could go to the Jets.
My man could carve a nice big mansion out of the Redwoods.
You don't want to be in no damn redwoods.
In San Fran, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The peaceful, serene redwoods of San Fran. He's a cow
he's from
guy.
Private jet right from L.A. up. No, it's not around the corner, but private jet from San Fran to L.A. That's a short ride on a private jet.
No more cold weather.
What's her catalog like lately? What has she been doing?
Well, Big Little Lies is coming back soon. What's that story? She's doing that. She's doing movies. COVID put stuff on hold. They're shooting again.
All right.
It's a short plane ride from San Fran to L.A. compared to Wisconsin to L.A.
I'm just thinking aloud here.
I'm not disagreeing.
You know, all of a sudden, out of the blue, he gets engaged. All of a sudden, I hate the Packers.
Hey, what would you do, Devon? You got the love of your life. He's been searching. He got the love of his life.
You're not wrong.
He's been searching.
He's been around a little bit, and now he's finally found the right one, and she wants out of Green Bay. I get it.
Would you consider her feelings?
Of course. You know me. Of course I would.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, you can't.
Yeah. All right, just as we go into the break, update on the Phillies game. Look at Hector Neris gave him a little payback, apparently.
My guy.
Your guy. Hector Neris plunked Arenado.
Two outs, bottom of the ninth, bases empty.
Oh, that's what we want to do it.
Plunked him and then struck out the next batter, so on to extra innings, no problem, but plunked him. The manager comes up. He's like, what? Obviously, I didn't do it on purpose. It's the bottom of the ninth. Why would I do that on purpose? Struck out the next batter.
That's a good spot.
Yeah, I like it.
Except if that player scored.
The thing is, but if it's a home run, it's a tie game. So what?
Uh-huh. Who's behind Arenado? Who hit after him?
I forget. But he struck him out.
That's a factor.
He struck him out.
That's why you feel better about hitting Arenado, because you can get the next guy out.
Well, it's extra innings, bottom of the
team. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. Is John Kincaid on the other side? Devon, thanks for hanging.
Hey, man. I'll check you guys out tomorrow.
All right. And by the way, you're looking better out there.
Thank you. My legs are spry.
You are. You're feeling better.
You get your sea legs,
George Hill.
You see those two dunks I have?
There you go.
Dunked on John Collins.
I get up.
Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.